The Becker's team is excited to be making our return to in-person events this fall. Join us in September for Becker's Hospital Review 6th Annual Health IT and Revenue Cycle Conference. We have opportunities to attend the in-person program in Chicago and also to join us virtually from the comfort of your own home. For information about registering and to find out if you are eligible to attend free of charge, reach out to us at registration@beckershealthcare.com.
This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Daryl Bodner, CIO of North Country Healthcare in Lancaster, New Hampshire. Daryl, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, before we dive into the questions, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. My name is Daryl Bodner. I'm the Chief Information Officer for North Country Healthcare in Northern New Hampshire. We're a small affiliation of three critical access hospitals. It was established in 2016. And we've come together in a collaborative manner without a tertiary or parent, facility overseeing us. And it's been a great experience because it's allowed us to be dynamic and adapt to some of the changes we've recently gone through. It's a wonderful area to live in, northern New Hampshire, White Mountains, and, a population that's around 30,000. And we're right on the Canadian border. So it's a really, really unique place to be.
It does sound like a fantastic environment and really, able to hopefully just take in that atmosphere and enjoy yourself.
Yes.
All right. So what are the top three trends that you're following in healthcare today?
Well, there's a lot of things out there, I think, that everybody's following. I think the things that always come top to mind of me are technology is the first one. The volume of digital products and services that are hitting the market is incredible. I was thinking about the proliferation of an advancement of, patient wearables and monitoring devices, but it goes beyond that. There's service lines that are designed for like prevention and therapeutics and case management and all those wonderful things, wellness and diagnosis. And they just seem to be popping up everywhere, filling in little voids in this digital rollout of healthcare. It's almost like the entire ecosystem of care delivery has all these different opportunities, and it's just a matter of picking which ones seem to fit the best.
Got it. Absolutely. So in thinking about some of those, technologies and digital products, how do you filter the ones that you think are going to be the most interesting or exciting or the ones that you want to learn about and pursue further versus those that, maybe just more noise than anything?
Well, it's funny. So what I look at is I look at our care delivery lines, and we have a fairly robust primary care delivery. So when we're looking at those types of pieces, I look at, some of the health and wellness pieces. You look at hypertension treatment, pain management. Anything that's sort of involved in that chronic care management seems to fit there, but also health and wellness and even maybe because we have sort of an aging elderly population, medication adherence are all there. And there's unique niches that seem to fit this. It's a really crowded market space now, and it just keeps continuing growing. So you're right, there is a lot of noise out there. We've also seen some real benefits from substance abuse and those types of products because it really bridges the gap with with our patients. Just found it to be very, very helpful.
Got it. Absolutely. I think it makes a ton of sense. And, is there anything else that's front of mind as you're looking out on the healthcare landscape and seeing, where we're at today, especially with the pandemic, and then what you might need tomorrow in order to make sure your organizations are poised for success?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other things, when you think about the trends that are occurring. I think, I hate to use buzzwords, but consumerism in the patient experience. I think that, one of the biggest challenges we're facing is what our patients want and need. And I think the model we used to use during the pandemic was to take our existing care delivery models and move it to a remote experience. And I don't think that's what the consumers are going to be expecting us going forward. I mean, I think that was out of necessity and it worked well at the time. But I think the revisiting of the entire patient journey map and how things are changing are critically important to how we're going to look at this digital environment as we roll out. If you look at that patient journey, from symptom checking to contract information and service routing, and even perhaps online digital scheduling, those are all expectations I think that our patients are going to have going forward. And ideally, this is done in a true mobile environment. Even though patient portals are extending and are great, I think that you really, really need to have that true digital front door for all the healthcare services that we have going on. And I think it expands across all levels of service, whether it's care, whether it's the virtual care, it's in-person care, chronic disease management. I think there's an expectation that all is going to be there. And the other piece, if I may, while I'm looking at it, is I think that the actual marketplace and the competition is going to continue to drive this. You know, people talk about the digital giants. I think it's, in this particular case, it's really the wild west of healthcare. The market is ripe for this. I mean, we're 18, 20% of GDP, so there's a lot of dollars there. And when you look at the Walgreens, the Walmart, CVS's, Amazon's, they're all delivering on these items, including retail clinics, health screenings, you know, chronic disease management, vaccinations, of course, pharmacy in virtual care. And there's even others when you look at Amazon and Walmart that are getting into urgent care, optometry, dental, behavioral health. And I think Walmart is even, I think, has instances where they're standing up imaging. That is going to be a real challenge for rural healthcare as we go forward. There's just a lot going on and they're big dollars. Recently, I think I read an article, it was on Becker's, that Best Buy had invested $1 billion into their purchase of Great Call, which is an acquisition for remote patient monitoring. I mean, who would have thought that that would have been a level of competition that we would have had?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's such an interesting point. And, you know, from your vantage point at the health system level, and especially working with critical access hospitals, when you see some of these new entrants into the marketplace, whether it's the Walgreens, CVS Health, or Amazon and Best Buy, do you really see those as competing for a patient base, or are they partners, or how do you see them in the field? And what is your, you know, thought process when you're trying to react to what they're doing on a day-to-day basis?
I would like to think that you could end up partnering with them, but with critical access hospitals, they're cost reimbursed and the margins are so thin. And most of those margins come from those other services, those ancillary services like labs, like radiology, imaging, even pharmacy. And I think those are the ones that are really going to hurt us. I mean, I think there's been since 2013, over 100 rural hospitals have closed. Unfortunately, I think that trend is going to continue unless we can meet this need before they do. And they certainly have much deeper pockets and probably a much better platform at which to deliver it in. So to me, that is one of my biggest concerns overall for rural healthcare.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. Is there anything that you're thinking about doing right now to meet some of those challenges, or is it still more of in the phase of trying to figure out what you need to do in order to keep those patients within your network?
No, I think we're working on that. I mean, we're standing up more and more telehealth and virtual care services. We are definitely doing remote patient monitoring. And it's not something that's going to go away in that sense, because people still look at having primary care physicians. They also need inpatient services that continue to go on, emergency room services, urgent care services that we offer. I just think that there's just pieces of it that keep sort of chewing into those elements that we have. And I think that, you know, it's going to be tough, and perhaps partnerships or working on their platforms might be the answer to it in the future. But I think for the next 12 to 24 months, my feeling is that those are going to continue to grow. And I think that I don't want to say it's a threat, but I think that the reality is that healthcare is primed to reduce some of these overall costs. And this is a way to drive some of those costs out. I think it's just the evolution of healthcare that we'll have to adjust to.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. Well, thank you so much for going through that with us. Now, given some of these trends we've talked about, whether it's, you know, the digital technologies, telehealth, consumerism, how do you anticipate your role as well as the role of your teams is going to change in the next 12 to 24 months or so?
Well, I think we're going to have to adapt and look at technology and try to follow our patients as if they are consumers, and what their needs are going to be and what those trends are. I mean, our patients are still our patients and we want to treat them. And I think the shift will fundamentally be to where the patients receive care, and the traditional pricing models that we currently have in place are going to have to adapt to this. To me, I think that's our primary focus. It's going to be more of monitoring the temperature of the environment and what the needs are, and adjusting and pivoting as quickly as we possibly can to those. I think we've done well with that, and I think we will continue to do well. As I mentioned at the beginning, you know, the three critical access hospitals that we've been able to pivot rather quickly and meet that need. So hopefully we will be able to continue to do so.
That's really great to hear. Are there any skill sets or roles that you think you'll be adding over the next few years or so?
I think clinical IT is going to be one of the biggest ones, and data analytics. Those are the two that seem to be the most, because we're starving for data, and to be able to get that data into the hands of decision makers as well as clinical staff is key. And then there's the bridge between what clinical staff are able to do and what technology staff are able to deliver. So we really are trying to build up in that particular area, both from data analytics and clinical IT.
Got it. Now, before we wrap up our conversation, I have one more question for you. What is the most interesting idea or technology pitch that you've heard about recently?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, because this one's been, I've been thinking about this for days, and I met with an individual, and they were sort of showing a product that's not quite ready for the market yet, but they've spent a lot of time developing it. And it's a single unified patient identifier. And I know we've all talked about this or thought about this as being something, but one of the things that they've done is they're truly using blockchain to be able to uniquely identify a patient and be able to carry that with them throughout their entire journey. Now, this could be on a local level, but they're definitely targeting a national level and perhaps a global level for this type of unique identifier. And what's interesting about it is it's sort of treating the individual. You hear all the hype behind NFTs. It's almost treating the individual patient as one. That is your unique identifier from start to finish, no matter where you are in the world. And it's a really interesting concept, and they've got a lot of horsepower behind it, and it looked really, really interesting. And when you think about vaccinations and trying to keep track and show, you know, positive identification, individual states have done this to show verification of vaccination, but this was something much, much larger. It was interesting, and I'll be curious to see if it ever comes to fruition.
Well, Daryl, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura. I really appreciate the opportunity.
The Becker's team, in partnership with HC1, is excited to hold the Precision Health Virtual Summit August 31st and September 1st. The two-day event will include sessions on integrating technology and data into healthcare delivery. Visit beckershospitalreview.com for more information or click through the link in today's podcast description.